Welcome back to another Wednesday night service here at Grace Community Church. Thank you all for coming out if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. If this is your first time tuning in, my name is Wade, and I'm glad you're watching. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll go over what we talked about last week, and then we'll get right into tonight's message. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and preach what you've laid on my heart this week. Father, I thank you for the message that you've given me, and I just pray, Lord, that you would give me the boldness to preach it tonight. And I pray that you would move me out of the way, Lord. Let nothing that's said be in my own opinion or my own making, Lord. Help it to just be all your truth, and we'll give you all the glory for it. And Lord, I just pray for everybody that's at home, because they're sick and they just could not get out and make it tonight, Lord. I pray that you bless them, comfort them where they are. And I just thank you, Lord, for the technology that we have, that your word can go anywhere you want it to. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So last week, we mostly talked about things that we can do now that we'll be glad that we did later. You know, getting ready for... We talked about how we all get older. You know, that's not something any of us gets out of. It's going to happen to everybody. And, you know, ways that we can prepare for the inevitable things in our future, like getting old. You know, we talked about how it's wise to plan ahead financially so you won't be struggling later when you're not able to work anymore. You know, you don't have that steady income coming in that you've gotten used to. We talked about how that is a wise thing to do instead of living foolishly like I did most of my life, just living just for the day and, you know, acting like that time's never going to come, because that time does come and it's good to prepare for it. You know, the Bible says it's wise to prepare for it, but that's not what we should put our faith in. You know, our faith should be in God alone. You know, we talked about last week, too, that there's a number of things that can happen to our bank accounts or, you know, whatever our financial situation is. There's all kinds of things that can happen, and, you know, we'll wind up not have anything. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 39, the Bible promises us, you know, in the verses before this one, that nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we need to put our faith in the Lord. I mean, it's good to prepare for our future, but we can't put our faith in our money. Our faith needs to be in the Lord. And we talked about how we can make changes in our health, you know, by changing our diet and adding exercise and make sure we're in better health when we do get older. You know, like I said, we're all going to get old eventually, but we can make better choices now that will help us to be healthier then. You know, we're all going to get old, but we don't have to be old and sick. You know, there are certain diseases and sicknesses that we don't have control over. You know, I know a lot of people got COVID and they're still dealing with the, you know, the effects of COVID even after they're over COVID, and they'll probably stick with you the rest of your days. But there are some things that we can do to be in better health, and I think we should take advantage of those things while we can. And that's just, you know, those diseases and stuff, that's just part of living in a fallen world. But watching what we eat and exercise, that can go a long way to a healthier future. You know, like I said, we're all going to get old, but we can do what we can do now to be healthier then, so we don't wind up wishing we would have, you know, 5 or 10 years down the line. You know, I told you last week that I'm 51 now, and I'm just now taking this seriously. There's things I wish I would have started when I was 40 or 45, but I didn't. So it don't really matter how old you are. If you start today making, you know, more healthy choices, it will help you in the future, because no matter how old you are, you still have a future. You're still alive. So the changes for the better will still benefit you in the future. You know, I heard some people say, I'm too old to start now, and I disagree with that. You know, if you're alive, you still have a future, and there are things you can do to make it better. And the younger you do that, I think the better off you'll be. And the last thing we talked about last week was when we do get older, we're all going to need somebody to help us, you know, somebody to care for us. So we need to live in a way and treat other people in a way that they want to, that they do want to help us when we do get older, when we do, our strength fails us and our health starts to fail us. You know, if we don't want to go through those things all alone, which a lot of people do, you know, I told you last week, it breaks my heart because there's people all over the place, elderly people living by themselves, and nobody will help them. So we need to start living in a way and treating other people in a way that when we do get older, they want to help us. And one of the verses we used for that last week was Proverbs 18 and verse 24. It says, to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. So if we want friends, we got to be friendly. And if we want to be cared for, you know, later in life, then we should be caring for other people now. We should be treating other people, you know, with respect and treating them the way that we want to be treated. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So we have to treat others the way we want to be treated. So if we want to reap a harvest in our future of love and somebody caring for us later, we need to be planting love and caring for other people now in the way that we live and in the way that we treat other people. You know, make an investment in them, and in doing so, we'll make an investment in our own future. But all these things, you know, they're all good things, and even though they are good things, other than the personal relationships that we have with other people, they're just earthly things, you know. Our relationships are eternal, but all the other things, our finances and all that stuff, those are just earthly things, things to help us live a better life while we're here on earth. But what I want to focus on tonight is our real life. You know, we get so wrapped up in our day-to-day life here on earth that we forget. A lot of times we get so busy we forget that, like all these other things, are preparation so this life will be better here on earth and we can avoid suffering later, that our time here is supposed to be the same thing, preparing for our real life, our eternal life that comes later on, preparing for our true life that begins when this one comes to an end. You know, whether we die before Jesus comes back or whether Jesus comes back, this life one day will end, and we have to be prepared when that time comes. You know, there's no redo if Jesus comes back. There's no redo after we die. And I think that a lot of people have the idea that Jesus came and died for us so we could have a just have a better life here on earth. And that's just not true. You know, Jesus didn't come here to pamper us. That wasn't his purpose. That's not what the Bible says. It says that he came so that we could have life, period. You know, before we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And I'll show you that verse here in a minute. But in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. You know, we all know what the devil came for. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He didn't say that we might have a better life, but that we may have life, period. You know, if all we have is life here on earth, it would be, you know, it'd be kind of pointless. It'd be short and miserable and pointless. You know, no matter what you did, no matter what you went through, all the hard times you went through, no matter what you accomplished, if all you did was get born, go through all those things, and then die, and that's it, it would be, life would just be pointless. But Jesus said he came that we would have life more abundantly, that we could have eternal life. Now, the things that we do here do take on a whole new meaning when you look at it in eternity. You know, it's not just our time here. We will all spend eternity somewhere. And the good things that we do here can last forever. But a lot of things that we argue and fight and, you know, just go through all kinds of ugly situations about don't even matter when it comes to eternity. But And Jesus didn't come to give us a better life here on earth. He came to give us life, period. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "And you has he quickened," talking about Jesus, "he quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins." So before Jesus, we're dead. It goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 4 and 5. It says, and this is two of my favorite verses. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." So God loves us so much that he brings us to life in Christ. He brings us to life. I love that word quicken. I looked it up in the Greek. And that word quicken in the Greek means to reanimate. So, you know, our spirits come from God, but when Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits died. And everybody that was born after that is born with a dead spirit. But that verse says that he quickens us. He brings us to life. And it says to reanimate conjointly. So he don't just reanimate our spirits. When we surrender to Christ and receive him as our Lord, we have the same spirit. Our spirit joins with the spirit of Christ. You know, like I said, when Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits died. So all of us are born under the sin nature. We're born with dead spirits. But like we just read, God, who's rich in mercy, made it possible for us to be reanimated or brought back to life with Christ. When Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says that he became the first fruit or the firstborn of many brethren, and anyone who believes in him can be brought back to life or reanimated, you know, like that definition says, by the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, we still have our spirit. They're separate from his, but we all are joined together through the Holy Spirit. That's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same one that brings us back to life when we surrender to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22, that's what it's talking about. It says, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man," talking about Adam, "came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So we're talking about preparing for the future, preparing for eternal life. You know, we talked about this some, and Chris hit a little bit about it Sunday. You know, you can live your whole life and go to church, do all the church stuff. You can teach Sunday school. You can do a million things that make you look godly or make you look like a good person. But if you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ and asked him into your heart as Lord and received him as Lord, then your spirit is still dead. You know, as long as we're in control, as long as I am still Lord of my own life, then Jesus is not Lord. You know, Jesus asked the question one time in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46. You know, he asked him, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, if we're calling him Lord, then we're obedient to him. We're not still doing things our way. We're obedient to him, and he is Lord. So if we're still running the show, then he's not our Lord. We have to die to ourselves. We have to give up our rights to lord our own lives in order to receive Jesus as our Lord. You know, you can't have two lords. You can't have two masters. Jesus said, you'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll love one and despise the other. So we can't be our own Lord. If he's Lord, he has to be Lord. We talked a lot about that just a few months ago. Some of you were here, I know, in Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you go back to verse 4, it says we are buried with Christ. You know, you can't resurrect something that's still alive. We have to let our old man die and be buried with Christ in baptism. You know, like I said, Pastor Chris did an awesome job Sunday talking about the crowd and the called. And if all you're doing is going to church and haven't changed anything on the inside, you know, if you haven't let the old man die and given up control, if you're still in control, then you're still alive as Lord of your own life, and you can't be resurrected. We have to die to ourselves. We really have to surrender our control to him. If we keep on reading in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, I love that verse. It says our old man has to be crucified. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We have to let our old sin nature and our old life come to an end before we can start walking in the new one, like it said in verse 4. You know, I see it all the time, and this really does break my heart. I see people just come over and over and over and say they want a new life, and they do truly mean it, you know, when they tell me that. They tell me that with tears in their eyes, and they really do want a new life. But they won't let go of the old one. They get so close. And then when the time comes to actually step into the new life, then, you know, something will happen. They'll chicken out and go right back to their old way because they're fearful of the new life. They never completely let the old one die so they can be resurrected. And that's a hard place to be. I was there for a long time myself. But once you do truly surrender, then you are resurrected. And all those fears you have go away. And that reminds me of the, you know, when people come like that and they want a new life and they get so close to it and then they walk away from it and they're brokenhearted because they really do want the new life. They just can't seem to grasp it. And that reminds me of the rich young ruler in Luke 18. Jesus is having a conversation with this rich young ruler, and he's asking Jesus, you know, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? You know, and Jesus said, well, have you ever heard of the commandments? And he's like, yeah, I've kept all the commandments from my youth. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. Here in verse 22, it says, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So he valued his old life more than he wanted the new one. And so he turned away from Jesus and walked away sorrowful. And I think that's how a lot of us are still that way today. I mean, you may not be the rich young ruler. You may not have all the riches that he had. But we value our old life more than we desire the new one. So we turn our back on the new one and we go back into the old one. And if you want a new life, you have to be willing to let the old one go. Like I said earlier, I think we get so caught up in the here and now in our day-to-day that we forget. You know, it's not about just here and now. It really is about life and death. In the end, it's that simple. It's not about what I prefer or what I enjoy more or getting life just the way I want it, get everything situated to where I'm happy and I'm pleased. You know, all those things are distractions to keep us from focusing on the simple truth that in the end, the choice really is. There's only two of them. There's life and death. We have to choose one of those. This life really is all about preparing for eternity. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 that God puts eternity in everybody's hearts. It says he has made everything beautiful in his time, Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. And that word world there is translated eternity. So that's what he's saying. He has set eternity in our hearts. So we all know, we are all aware that there's more to life than this. God put it in our hearts. And God does bless us while we're here, you know, so we can enjoy our lives on the earth. But we can't let our own desires and our lusts to please ourselves distract us from the truth. You know, in the end, we're either prepared for eternity or we're not prepared for eternity. You know, we've been talking the last few months a lot about when Christ does return, we don't want to be ashamed at his coming. When he does come, it's too late then to make the changes. You know, it's too late then to say, okay, I surrender now. Now I believe because I can see you face to face. It's too late then. Jesus told, I don't know how many parables, you know, just like the virgins trimming their wicks and stuff. You know, when he did come back, when the bridegroom came, there were five wise ones and there were five foolish ones. And the five foolish weren't ready. And they were pounding on the door, please let us in. And he's like, I never knew you. He's got a few parables like that. So the time to do anything is now. The Bible says in quite a few places, and I'll share one of them with you, but there's a bunch of places in the Bible that says today is the day of salvation. And if you feel in your heart that God is calling you, you know, if you're aware that you need to surrender yourself to God and make things right with God, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You know, we call it conviction. He's letting you know. He's giving you a warning that you need to get your relationship with him where it needs to be. And now is the time to do that. You know, nobody is guaranteed tomorrow, or nobody's guaranteed 5 minutes from now. And if God has brought it to your attention that you are in need for him and you reject it and just go on about your business, that's not going to be like the little day-to-day decisions that we make every day. You know, I wish I wouldn't have ate that, or I should have bought that while I had the chance. You know, those little decisions that we regret, it's not going to be that way. You know, it's when we're standing before Jesus, and all of us will stand before Jesus, we've already made our choice. We've either chosen life or we have chosen death. You know, I've heard people say God sends people to hell. God don't send anybody to hell. God doesn't sentence anybody. We do. It's our choice. We sentence ourselves either to eternal life or to eternal death. God gave us a choice. We're the ones that make that choice. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So no matter how good a life you think you're living, if you haven't surrendered to Christ, if you haven't been covered by the blood of Christ and your spirit been quickened by the Holy Spirit and brought back to life by his Spirit we talked about a while ago, then you're still dead and your trespasses and sins. So it's not good or bad, it's you are either dead or you're alive. It's either I belong to Jesus or I don't belong to Jesus. I'm in Christ or I'm not in Christ. That's how we will be judged when he comes back. You know, and we can never be good enough. You can never be a good enough person to earn salvation. But we can be totally his. You can surrender your life to Christ. And though you're going to mess up every day, I mess up every day, but I know in my heart I belong to Jesus. I made him Lord of my life, so I don't have to be ashamed on the day when he does come back. My mom says it all the time. There's nothing in this world. This world has nothing to offer that is worth eternal separation from God. Nothing. I mean, say you got up this morning and they gave you a list to fill out and you could have anything you want, anything. And the rest of your life, you were just pampered every day, anything you chose, anything you could think of that we give you. And at the end of your life, you're still going to die, and you are still going to stand before Jesus. And if he's not the Lord of your life, if you don't belong to him, then you're still dead. You've never entered into life. And once we're at that point, there's nothing we can do about it. So no matter what this world has to offer, it's not worth your eternal life. John warns us about that in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, like we just talked about. You could have everything in the world, but it's all going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever, or has eternal life. You have eternity to look forward to. So everything we see, everything we touch will pass away. It's not worth anything compared to eternity. And God does want us to enjoy life. We should enjoy life. But we need to put God first. Get your eternity secured first. And a lot of people think, well, if I give my life to God, I'm never going to have fun. I'm never going to have anything. We're supposed to be poor if we're Christians. God don't say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, that we're going to be poor and miserable if we're a Christian. Psalm 84 in verse 11 says God won't withhold anything good from us. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. It says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So all those people that tell you that if you become a Christian, then you're going to hate life because you're not having any fun anymore, that's just a lie. I know a lot of Christians that have a lot of fun all the time. You know, they still have boats. They still go out on the lake. They still do all those fun things. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But we need to put God first. We need to secure our eternity so we can actually enjoy those things, knowing that when this life does end, that's not the end. You know, life is good. And God wants you to enjoy it, but he wants you to live in a way that glorifies him and live in a way that don't jeopardize your eternity. You know, I always tell you that God doesn't ever ask us to do anything that he hasn't done first. In John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25, and this is Jesus talking, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So he's telling us, you know, you can either love this life or you can have eternal life. We can still have fun and be a Christian and still be guaranteed we have eternal life. We just have to do life the way God tells us to. You know, Jesus died so he could be resurrected and bring life to all of us. So we have to die to ourselves too. Like he just said in verse 25, if all we live for is here and now, you know, in our day-to-day life, that's all we're going to have. We'll live life constantly wanting more and more and more, and we will never be satisfied. We'll never be fulfilled. We'll never be content with what we have. We'll never be happy with anybody or anything, because we want out of life is to please ourselves. And we can't do that. You'll never please yourself, no matter how much you have. The only way we're ever going to be satisfied is in the spirit. You can satisfy your spirit. You can't satisfy the flesh. Derek quoted this verse last week. We were out back here talking in Proverbs 27 and verse 20. It says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. We will never satisfy our flesh. And if we live our life trying to satisfy our flesh, we'll always be wanting more and we'll always be unsatisfied. The only way we're ever going to have true satisfaction is in our spirit. You know, and what are we all searching for? We think it's in our flesh, but it's not. It's in our spirit. You know, we're all searching for the same things, and we read about them all the time, almost every week in here. In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're all searching for. We're all searching for love. We all want joy. We want peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things, there is no law. There's no limit on those things. You can have all you want and then some. And that's what God wants us to have. But we get those in our spirit by being submitted to Christ under His authority. We'll never find those things in the flesh. You know, I hear people all the time saying they have a problem with faith. My faith ain't strong enough. I don't have enough faith. You know, I just need more faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We get that through the Holy Spirit. You won't have any faith until you surrender to Christ. Then the Holy Spirit gives you faith. It helps you grow in your faith. What we start with is belief. We believe that Christ is who He says He is, and we surrender our lives to Him. And then, like we read earlier, He will quicken or reanimate our spirits so we can have the same faith, His Spirit, you know, after we surrender to Christ. Paul has a perfect verse for that in Galatians 2 and chapter 20. You know, like we talked about being crucified, letting the old man die. Paul says, that's what he did. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The Spirit of Christ lives in him now. And the life which I now live, his true life, not the life he was living in the flesh, but his spiritual life, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have to crucify our old man, like we read a while ago in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. And then we are resurrected by the Spirit of Christ in us, by his faith, not our own, like we just read in Galatians 2:20. It said he lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's not our own. It's his. Our faith is in him. So if you're trying so hard and it's just not getting any better, the answer is not trying harder. You know, we can't earn our faith. We can't earn any of those things. All the fruit of the Spirit is a gift from God. You know, none of us can try harder and get any of those things. Those are a gift. We get there by surrendering, not trying harder. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, it's not about works, lest any man should boast. He says, by grace are you saved. That's that mercy we read about a while ago. Grace is unmerited favor. God had so much mercy and love for us that he saved us through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. The only thing we can do to prepare for eternity is surrender to Christ. You know, we can't work harder and prepare for it. There's nothing else we can do other than surrendering to Christ. We can't work harder, try harder. There's no way to earn it. There's two things we can do, and we have to do both of these things. God won't do them for you, and he won't force you to do them. And they're both hard things, especially starting out. They're hard things to do, and they're daily things to do. They're things that we have to do every single day. Every day we have to die to ourselves. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. And that's what we have to do too. And that don't mean you get saved every day. Once you get saved, you're saved. We just read a while ago that nothing can separate you from the love of God once you have become one of his children. But it is a daily choice to allow Jesus to be your Lord today and not take back the reins and start controlling things again. You know, every morning when we get up, I tell you all the time, it's a great idea to start your day with a devotion. You know, get your heart where it should be, get your mind where it should be, and remind yourself, I belong to Christ. He is my Lord. I'm going to obey Christ today and not allow ourselves to, you know, like I said, take control of the wheel again, take control of the reins and start controlling things ourselves. We have to daily make that choice to let him be our Lord. And the second thing we have to do is just as important, and it's a daily choice too. We have to stay in submission to the Spirit of God. You know, after we get saved, the Holy Spirit speaks to us all the time. He'll let us know this is the right way to go, that's not the right way to go. But a lot of times we're either busy or we're in a bad mood or whatever the case may be, then we'll step outside of being submissive to the Spirit and do our own will. And when we do that, that's how we get in trouble. That's how we make bad choices. Another one of my favorite verses is in Galatians 5 and verse 16. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're submitted to the Holy Spirit, then we're going to make spiritual decisions and spiritual choices. We're not going to go off of our, you know, the lust of the flesh, like it says. We'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and we won't react or act the way our flesh wants us to. We have to, on purpose, willingly do the things that we're doing God's way, and we won't fulfill the desires of our flesh or our attitude. You know, our attitude can go one way or the other. When somebody does something to us, we can go back to our old way of thinking and get mad and get offended and, you know, get an ugly attitude, or we can do it the way the Spirit tells us to and bear one another's burdens that we read all the time. We can be forgiving and not be resentful and realize, you know, we're all weak. We all make mistakes, and forgive each other. And that'll keep us a lot of times from having the bad attitude that that ruins our day and ruins our relationships and causes arguments. You know, it's more inward than it is outward. And the more we're submitted to the Spirit and doing things the way the Holy Spirit's telling us to, God will change our hearts while we're being obedient. You know, I've told you a lot of times before, when I first came to Christ, I had to, on purpose, be obedient, because that wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, our sin nature goes against doing the right thing. It goes against a lot of things that God asks us to do. So we have to, on purpose, be obedient to him. So there's a few verses I want to share with you in closing. How do I prepare for eternity? Like we said a while ago, you have to make God and your relationship with him the number one priority in your life. That's the only way you're going to stay close enough to God. That's the only way you're going to walk in obedience and walk in submission to the Spirit. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The whole chapter of Matthew 6, he's telling us not to worry. You know, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about all the day-to-day things that we worry about all the time. Seek God first. Like I said, God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have good things, and he'll give you all those things. But we have to seek him first. God's not going to make you do without. You know, we just read in Psalm 84, he won't withhold any good thing from you. Just put him first. And, you know, I have people ask me all the time, how do I live this out? How do I actually apply this to my life? And we read this almost every week too. And we'll probably keep on reading it. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the way we live it out in our own life, the way we seek the kingdom of God first, is we don't lean to our own understanding. You know, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But we get so busy in our day-to-day, we don't take the time to acknowledge him. We make decisions on the go. We just, use our own judgment in so many things, and we wind up in a mess, and we wind up, how did I get here? And that's how we get there. We don't trust in the Lord with all our heart, and we do trust in our own understanding, and we don't acknowledge Him, and we direct our own path. That's how we get off the path that we should be on. Those two verses right there, if you'll use those every day, they will change your life and let it guide you. And it will guide you if you're reading it. Get in God's Word and, you know, pray before you read it. And God will, He'll show you things that will guide you and lead you. And finally, this is the key to being obedient and seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life that you want and that you desire to see. You know, I think Chris hit a little bit on this Sunday too, but in James 1, verse 22, those two verses in Proverbs and this verse, if you use those three verses every day, it will change your life. You know, it's not enough to know what God says about these things. You know, like we said, to show yourself, or to have friends, show yourself friendly. God's Word is simple when you break it down. It's the obedient part, being a doer of the Word and not just knowing what it says. We deceive our own selves. So it's not enough to know what's right. It's not enough to know what God tells us to do. We have to do these things. We have to live these things. You know, not just at church, not on Sunday and Wednesday, or when anybody else can see us. We actually have to make that inward change in our hearts that I'm going to be obedient to Christ. He is my Lord. And if we do these things and live these things in our life, you can be confident that you will be prepared for eternity. And you won't be ashamed when Jesus comes back or when you die and you're standing before Him. You'll be confident that your relationship with Him is where it needs to be, and you'll be glad to see Him instead of being afraid to see Him. But it all begins with surrendering your will to Jesus. And if you haven't done that yet, I urge you to do that. I beg you, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. When you look up those words in the original language, he's saying, we're begging you, come back to God for Christ's sake. You know, Christ died so we could have life. And it'd be foolish for us to choose death when we have a free gift of life right in front of us. So if you do these things, you will be confident when you meet Jesus. But if you've never surrendered your will to His, if you're still Lord of your life, then you can't do those things without the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't done that, just like Paul says, I'll beg you in Christ's stead. You know, surrender your life to Christ and accept that free gift of eternal life. You know, like I said to start with, all these other things are good to invest in. They're good to prepare for our future here, but we have to be mindful to be prepared for our real future, our eternal life. It wouldn't do us a bit of good to pamper ourselves, make sure we've got everything we need and everything we want while we're here, only to come face to face with Jesus and realize all that was for nothing because I'm still dead in my sins and I never took it serious enough to surrender my life to Christ. And I guarantee you, if you've ever had regrets here, you've never had one like that. The scariest thing I believe anybody could hear would be, depart from me, I never knew you. I never want to hear those verses. That sends a chill down my spine. I know He loves me and I love Him, and I'm going to do my best every day to live in obedience to Him, not trying to earn it, but just trying to be obedient because of what He's already done for me. But I hope that really helps somebody. It really helped me doing a study on it this week and in my own life. You know, I can see areas that I can do better. And I pray that It helps you. But that's all I've got for us this week. I thank y'all for coming out. If you're here in person, thank you for tuning in. If you're watching online, and if you never have surrendered your life to Christ and, you know, accepted Him as your Savior, that's where it all starts. Nothing else is going to work out until you do that. So if you need somebody to talk to, somebody to lead you to the Lord, or show you how to do that, if you just don't know how to do that, then you're welcome to come. You can talk to me, or there's plenty of people here at the church that would be glad to talk to you and help you do that. But thank you all again for coming out. I will pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for that message. I thank you for what it did in my heart, Lord. Father, I just pray that it would touch every heart and every mind that heard it tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to look inwardly at our own hearts, Lord, and examine ourselves and see what kind of shape we are in when it comes to our relationship with you. And God, I pray that you'd help us to listen for your Holy Spirit. And if we feel that conviction in our hearts, Lord, that there is areas that we need to work on, things that we need to talk to you about, Father, I pray that you'd give us the courage and the boldness to come before your throne like your word says, and to just talk with you. Your word says, come, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, you'll make them white as snow. Help us to believe your word, Lord, where it says in 1 John, if we'll confess our sins, you're faithful and just, and you do forgive us, and you do cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That you don't, you're not a respecter of persons, Lord, that anybody can come to you at any time and be saved. Well, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, for making it possible for all of us to have eternal life. And Father, I just pray that you give us courage to make the choice for life instead of death. In Jesus' name, amen.